Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, Raiders coaches are going to get up close and personal with some college prospects, plus some thoughts on available SEC quarterbacks. Your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on Thursday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, January 19th, 2023.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
Your win is a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. Thanks to my man, Ari, doing a great job at Ari Produces on Twitter, making sure we're up on YouTube each and every day. We appreciate the feedback. We appreciate the listens. You know, if you subscribe to it, great. You listen for a minute, great. 30 minutes, even better. But whatever you do, we definitely appreciate it. Today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. And first-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. It's another Thursday that goes by that's not a crossover Thursday. I'm starting to get used to this. I really am. I'm not saying I like it. I do like having crossover Thursday. I like having game weeks, but you know, there's got to be an off season for, you know, half the league, over half the league, and the Raiders obviously are in off season mode. But there are a lot of news and notes to get to, and this off season is going to be interesting. So I'm sure there's going to be plenty of news and notes to get to, not only with the Raiders but across the league. And on Wednesday, it was announced that Patrick Graham will be a head coach at the Senior Bowl. He'll be part of the national team, and I think that that's awesome. I really do. Regardless of what you think of Patrick Graham, I was a big fan when the Raiders hired him. I know it didn't work out great in the first year with the team, but I'm a big fan of Patrick Graham or any of the coaches on the Raiders staff being coaches there at the Senior Bowl, just because they're getting up close and personal with these college prospects. And man, there's a lot of college prospects that make it to the NFL that come out of the Senior Bowl. If you remember, I mean, Derek Carr came out of the Senior Bowl, right? Foster Moreau, he came out of the Senior Bowl. Plenty of players. Hunter Renfrow came out of the Senior Bowl. Plenty of players that the Raiders have drafted over the years. And again, plenty of teams across the league have drafted have come out of the Senior Bowl. So knowing that they're going to be able to get hands-on training with these players that are going to be in Mobile, Alabama between January 31st and February 2nd, with the game being played on Saturday, February 4th, you can see that game on NFL Network, I think that that's going to be awesome. So this is the note that came out from NFL.com and NFL Communications on Wednesday, and also the NFL Network also confirmed it. The American side of the coaching staff is Luke Getsy. He's from the Chicago Bears. He's the offensive coordinator. Also, the offensive coordinator from the Falcons, quarterback coach Charles London, is going to be part of the American side. Defensive coordinator is going to be the Patriots defensive line coach DeMarcus Covington. Also, something to note on the American team, who's going to be coaching the defensive line? Well, that's going to be Raiders defensive assistant coach Matt Edwards. So not only do you have Patrick Graham on the national side of things, but then you have defensive line coach Matt Edwards. He's going to be working with the American side. So you're getting both sides of this game and all those prospects that are going to gather in Mobile, Alabama. I think that that's a win-win proposition, especially since we know how much the Raiders need defensive help. So Patrick Graham is going to be able to have boots on the ground, work with these guys, see who he likes, see who he doesn't, and be able to come back and say, hey, Dave, this is the guy that would fit really well with what I'm trying to do. This is a guy that could be a stud. I worked with this guy for 3 straight days. I know he could be a great player in this scheme that I'm trying to run. Not saying that Dave Ziegler is going to say, okay, well, I'll go draft him. I'll go draft that guy. But at least he's given him a good understanding of what he can do. So I'm excited by that. Patrick Graham being the head coach of the national team, and also Matt Edwards being the defensive line coach, who is a defensive assistant coach right now with the Raiders, them being on the American side. So they're on both sides of the thing. They're going to get up close and personal with all those prospects in Mobile, Alabama. So January 31st to February 2nd, all eyes will be in Mobile, Alabama. But not only that, I've been talking about it quite a bit as well. The Shrine Bowl is taking place right here in Las Vegas, and that game is actually on Thursday, February 2nd. So the same week that is going to be activities going on in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, there's going to be activities going on right here in Las Vegas at the Shrine Bowl, but at Allegiant Stadium. So the beautiful thing about that is that the Raiders could send their scouts and send their coaches and not have to really go too far. Go right down the block to Allegiant Stadium, get there with my guy, Eric Galco, who's the player direct of personnel. I actually have him on my radio show every Wednesday at 3 o'clock talking about the different prospects, but they get to work with these guys right in their own backyard. So there's going to be some dudes that are going to fly under the radar. I mean, guys like Brock Purdy came out of the Shrine Bowl. The quarterback for the Dolphins, Skylar Thompson, from Kansas State. He was the quarterback for the Dolphins that last weekend, Super Wild Card weekend. He came from the Shrine Bowl. Tyquan Thornton, second round draft pick for the Patriots last year, the speedster. He came from the Shrine Bowl. So there's some players that are going to be, hell, Tom Brady once played in the Shrine Bowl, right? I mean, there's so many different players that have come from the Shrine Bowl. So there's some real deal quality, maybe a little bit flying under the radar at times, guys, but guys that obviously they could play in the NFL. So the Raiders are going to have boots on the ground in Mobile, Alabama, and of course they're going to have their guys right here in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium as well. So I feel like two really big College Bowl showcases that really help get these guys prepared for the NFL draft is going to be right in front of the Raiders. They're going to have the opportunity to really capitalize and learn these guys up close and personal before it comes time to really get down to, okay, let's build the big board real quick. Let's look at the guys that we're thinking about and how can we go from here. So I'm excited about the opportunity, man. If you go back, just look. If you're curious, just go back and check out all the players that are in the NFL right now that came from the Senior Bowl. And even go back and look at the players that are in the NFL right now from the Shrine Bowl. And I think you'd be surprised how many guys are on showcase. I know the Senior Bowl is probably the bigger name that most people are more familiar with, but the Shrine Bowl has put out some real deal players as well. Don't sleep on that. So I'm excited about both of them. I'll be at Allegiant Stadium. I'll be up and close personal with those guys that are going to be there the whole week leading up to the game, and then the game is going to be played on Thursday, February 2nd. I'm not going to Mobile, Alabama, but I am going to the Super Bowl. That's going to be in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, Glendale in the convention center the whole week leading up to the Super Bowl will be in Phoenix, Arizona. So excited about that opportunity to be able to talk to a lot of different folks around the league there. So I won't be in Mobile, Alabama, but I will be very busy. Let's put it like that. And of course, we'll have plenty to bring back to the Locked On Raiders podcast. One more little nugget that I wanted to pass along before we get into segment number two and start talking about some SEC quarterbacks, as I was kind of going through quarterbacks on Wednesday's show. This little note came out, and I saw it on Twitter. Final NFL penalty leaders for 2022. This is not a list that anybody on the Raiders wants to be on, but unfortunately, there's a member of the Silver and Black that is on this list. Greg Allman actually put it out on Twitter. Most accepted penalties in 2022. Number one, Landon Dickerson from the Eagles, 13 penalties for 89 yards. Number two, Donovan Smith from the Buccaneers, 12 penalties for 100 yards. Number three, good old Jermaine Illuminor, offensive lineman for the Raiders, 11 penalties accepted for 78 yards. And then the Panthers and Kevin Dotson, Ikem Ekwonu from the Panthers, 11 for 76, and Kevin Dotson from the Steelers, 11 for 75, round out the top five. But there's Jermaine Illuminor, top six. There's Jermaine Illuminor right there, and we all know, I remember throughout the course of the season, how many times you saw a false start or a holding or some kind of penalty that eliminated a big play or eliminated a play altogether. Jermaine Illuminor can't do that. And he even tweeted out when he saw that tweet out there, he said, man, Greg's trying to ruin my Wednesday. That's something that if they do bring Jermaine Illuminor back, I don't think he's a starting guy as far as the right tackle position goes, but if they bring him back, he has got to clean that up in 2023. Those penalties are costly, man. 11 accepted penalties for 78 yards. And think about this. Those are accepted penalties, right? How many penalties did he get called for that weren't accepted? I'm sure there was plenty of those as well. So Jermaine Illuminor, good guy. He's fun to talk to in the locker room. He always is accountable. You know, he'll talk to us win, lose, tie, whatever the case may be. He'll always make himself available, but he's got to clean that up. And I do think that the Raiders probably want him to leave as a free agent so they can pick up a compensatory pick, but they might end up re-signing him, maybe a one-year deal, two-year deal, and just bring him back as far as depth goes. But I don't think that they envision Jermaine Illuminor being a starting right tackle or being a starting offensive lineman for the Silver and Black in 2023. Maybe a swing tackle is probably his best position on the offensive line, but we'll see what happens. Obviously, there's a lot of time between now and then, but he is definitely one of the 26 unrestricted free agents the Raiders have coming up this offseason. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of news and notes around the league. Coming up in segment number two, SEC quarterbacks. I talked about some quarterbacks. I was able to talk to my guy Cole Kublick from ESPN and the SEC Network on my radio show on Wednesday, and he broke down his thoughts on some of the quarterbacks that he covered like a glove during the college football season that came out of the SEC. You'll hear his thoughts, and you'll hear it next after I tell you about betonline.net. They're your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there. Of course, they got pro football. They've got college basketball, women's college basketball. They've got everything you could imagine. The NHL, yep, it's there as well. If you love sports podcasts, and obviously you do, you can find those as well at betonline.net. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting information on. All you got to do is head to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device to learn about more. Betonline.net, that is where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to continue to deep dive into the quarterback situation as it pertains to the silver and black. And it's so funny, this is really the first time I told this story on my radio show on Wednesday, that this is the first time since I've been covering the Raiders, either on the podcast or the radio, that the Raiders are in need of a quarterback. Now, I know some will say that they've been in need of a quarterback for a long time, but realistically, they've had a quarterback since 2014. So this is the first time that they really actually are in search of a quarterback, and there's going to be, you know, some new guy under center coming up next season. So this is so intriguing to me, and obviously this is a big storyline, but it's the first time in a very long time that the Raiders have been in this position where they need a starting quarterback, whether that's a veteran or a rookie. So the deal is, I'm not just going to go through mock drafts. I'm not just going to go and, you know, talk about this guy, that guy, and the other. I'm going to kind of go through a process. And so I mentioned it on Wednesday's show that the guys that I'm really intrigued by, like the Bryce Young from Alabama, CJ Stroud out of Ohio State, Will Levis from Kentucky, Anthony Richardson out of Florida, Dorian Thompson-Robinson out of UCLA, Hendon Hooker out of Tennessee, Clayton Toon out of Houston, all those guys, and of course there's a few more that I'm interested in as well. Those are really the ones that I'm really trying to focus in on. So on Wednesday, I decided on my radio show I was going to focus in on the SEC. Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA, by the way, I'm actually going to see him at the Shrine Bowl. So I'm going to actually have an opportunity to talk to him, you know, bring a little bit of the interview of that to the podcast and kind of get to know him and see what, you know, what the staff thinks of him, what, you know, guys at the Shrine Bowl think. And hopefully I'll be able to talk to a few, you know, scouts, not necessarily from the Raiders, but just in general on what their thoughts on DTR are. But I focused in on the SEC on my radio show. So Cole Kublick from ESPN, he's from the SEC Network, covers the SEC like a glove. So he's got a great insight on all these quarterbacks in the SEC. So Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker, those are the guys that we really focused in on. And it's funny because Stetson Bennett out of Georgia, he came up as well. And that wasn't a guy I was focused in on, but he just came up as well. And he is an SEC guy, so Cole gave his thoughts on him as well. But let's start off with Hendon Hooker. He's the guy that I thought was going to be a Heisman Trophy winner. I thought, no doubt about it, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Then he tore his ACL, and Caleb Williams from USC ended up winning the Heisman Trophy. Not saying Caleb didn't deserve it, but I just thought Hendon Hooker was fantastic. I mean, the guy only threw two interceptions all season long as opposed to 27 touchdowns. So he was fantastic, did a lot of really good things. I don't know if I'm 100% sold on him as an NFL quarterback, but he was the first guy that I talked to Cole about, and I asked him, what makes him so special and really a leader in the clubhouse for the Heisman until he tore his ACL? The fact that he threw 27 touchdowns and only had two interceptions. So what made him so special?
Yeah, I think that was one of the big parts of it, is not turning the football over. I think you also deal with a guy that has good mobility. You know, he didn't win that starting job from Joe Milton until Joe Milton got a little bit dinged up. And you talk to Alex Golish and you talk to Josh Heupel, and they'll tell you that because they don't let guys hit the quarterback in practice, they didn't really know what they had from his mobility and a leg standpoint, being able to run the ball, move with the ball. And once he got into live action, that part of his game wasn't going to allow him to be unseated. I think the other thing that separates Hendon Hooker is the deep ball accuracy. I mean, he throws a beautiful deep ball, and he's extremely accurate with that deep ball. It's not one that I think he's just taking a chance on for a guy to go run up under it or a guy to go grab a 50-50 ball. I mean, he knows how to drop it in on the guy's numbers. So I think you're looking at somebody who's going to be able to move around the pocket, somebody who can hit a deep ball, and somebody who, when you just sit down and talk to him, is as classy and dignified a young man as you're going to visit with. So I think there's going to be a lot that NFL teams fall in love with when they begin to spend some more time with Hendon Hooker.
So there was Cole Kublick's thoughts right there on Hendon Hooker, the quarterback out of Tennessee who tore his ACL, who was – in my opinion, again, on his way to winning the Heisman Trophy. And so I asked him another question about Hooker, about the fact that, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are talked about, and I know this happened with Bryce Young. This happened with Mac Jones coming out of Alabama a lot. Well, he's a good quarterback because he had all those weapons around him. So I asked him, is this a quarterback in Hendon Hooker that – people are going to start saying, well, you know, he was good, but he had all those weapons around him. Or is he really a guy that made those weapons a lot better? What was his thoughts?
Yeah, no, I don't think so, because, you know, he was really a big part of what made that offense go. The quick ball distribution, the screen game, you know, Tennessee, they run a little bit of that. You know, it's kind of an air raid from the Bryles tree offense. And, you know, he gets the ball sideline to sideline quickly, gets it out quick, but can work the middle of the field. We've seen him do that. And I think the misconception with Tennessee is that the tight ends aren't involved and there's not a lot of a run game. There really is. So play action, something that Hendon Hooker also very adept with. So there's not really a weakness in his game. Obviously the injury, people are going to be a little bit concerned about that. But other than that, I don't think you look at what he did and say, oh, well, he just had elite receivers. I mean, nobody was talking about Jalin Hyatt going into the season.
Right.
And all of a sudden he turned into a monster. We have heard about Brew McCoy for 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. coming out, whether it was going to be Texas, USC, whatever it was. But, you know, we hadn't really seen him be productive on the field. And then Cedric Tillman was dinged up for a lot of the year. I mean, he didn't play against Alabama. So I don't think that this was a scenario where, you know, he had 3 or 4 first-round receivers that he was throwing to, and that's the reason that he was successful. It helped a little bit in some areas, but that's not the reason that Hendon Hooker had the success that he did.
So there you go. There's the thoughts on Hendon Hooker from Cole Kubelik. He's from ESPN, from SEC Network, does a fantastic job. He was on my radio show, Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920 on Wednesday. We continued on, and Will Levis was another guy that's intriguing, right? He's a guy that didn't have a great season at Kentucky, but he's a guy that a lot of people believe could be a dude. But then a lot of people believe that he's so big, maybe he really isn't going to end up being a really good quarterback. So there's a lot of questions. So when we asked him about Will Levis, it was myself and Damon, he actually started talking about Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. Richardson from Florida. So here's Cole Kubelik's thoughts about Anthony Richardson and Will Levis as far as them being big athletic specimens.
Anthony Richardson told me at SEC Media Days he's going to run in the 4.4s. The guy's going to be 245 pounds. I've seen him throw the football 72, 73 yards in the air. I've seen Will Levis throw the ball almost 80 yards in the air. That guy's probably, he's probably going to be 250, 255, can run, tough as nails. Both guys you're gonna love being around talking to. GMs are going to enjoy what they have to say, how they carry themselves. They're going to want them on their rosters. But the question is going to have to be asked, can they be a quarterback? And it's the age-old question that we've been asking now for over a decade. Are you more athlete? Are you more quarterback? Can you go from athlete and be a quarterback? We heard this with Cam Newton coming out. Heard it with Lamar Jackson coming out. Can those guys go in and operate the offense on an every down basis, situationally, from week 1 to week 16 and be that guy on an NFL roster? They haven't had to be much of that in college. I think it'll help Levis a lot working with Scangrello last year at Kentucky. He had that West Coast offense, a lot of verbiage, very different for him. So that kind of experience, I think, will assist him a little bit. But both of those guys physically are going to absolutely – if I was Will Levis, I would go to the combine and do everything possible, and I would ask to do it twice. Because he is going to be that kind of a physical presence at the NFL combine. When he throws, the other guys are going to be sitting there going, oh, man, I got to throw after this dude. Like, they're not going to want to do it. That's how the ball comes out, and that's the kind of velocity that he's going to be able to put on the football. It's just there are moments when you wonder – is he just trying to play Superman, trying to play hero ball because he is so athletically gifted?
So I found that to be pretty interesting, and now it makes me really want to kind of go and do a deeper dive into Will Levis. I think Anthony Richardson, I really do, gut feeling is he's the biggest boomer bust. Right, this dude could be the most athletic cat out there. He could end up pulling like a Jamarcus Russell and throw the ball like 70 yards from a knee and all that good stuff, but probably can't play quarterback in the NFL lick. And I don't know. My gut feeling tells me that, you know, it looks fantastic, but it's something that's really going to take a lot of developing. So I know that Will Levis is a lot more polished, but then you heard what Cole had to say about him as well. So I think I'm going to probably do a little bit more deep diving into Will Levis. He kind of it really intrigued me. Can't wait to get down to, well, Kansas City when they have the draft in April. But leading up to the draft, and we really get to do a deep dive and talk to a lot of these draft analysts and, you know, kind of get the good, the ins and outs, and really, like I said, deep dive on individual guys. But Will Levis is a guy that intrigues me as well. So finally, as I mentioned, Stetson Bennett, his name did come up. The quarterback out of Georgia, the two-time national champion winner, a guy that, you know, most people didn't think would ever get onto the field, but all he did is go out there and lead Georgia to a national championship twice, back-to-back national championships. So, again, I didn't bring up Stetson Bennett. Cole actually brought him up, and it was talking about – actually, it was funny. The question was posed to him about Hendon Hooker and his age because he's a little bit older. He's actually a lot bit older. And then he started talking about Stetson Bennett and the concerns with his age and then kind of provided a nice little nugget about him. So here's Cole Kublik talking about Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett.
I think what you're looking at there is you're bringing someone in that probably is not going to have to be groomed as much to at least be ready to be on your roster. I don't know if Stetson Bennett's ready to step in and be an NFL starter right now, but I do think it's time to look past a little bit of the size and, you know, is he big enough? Does he have enough arm? Stetson Bennett can make the throws. He really can. And as I don't really care much about the stature. Here's what's wild about it. People are going to debate whether Bryce Young is going to come off the board at 1, 2, or 3. He's smaller than Stetson Bennett is. I've been next to both of them. I've talked to both of them, shook both their hands. Like, he's smaller in stature than Stetson Bennett is. And I think Stetson Bennett has just as good a mobility in being able to be elusive in the pocket or escape the pocket. So there will be strengths to his game that people are going to look at and say, yeah, he'll be valuable to us on the roster. Maybe not as a starter, but on the roster. And he's a guy that I think maybe you spend a little money on right now and say, well, he's old enough, mature enough to be able to come in and be the backup, and we're not going to have to worry about him learning the system or learning how things operate because he is of age.
So there's his thoughts right there on the Georgia quarterback. You know, and he makes it sound really good, and he said he can make all the throws, and he's got a little bit more size than Bryce Young does. I'll tell you right now, I'd take Bryce Young over Stetson Bennett any day of the week and twice on Sunday. He's not going to be available at number 7. There's no doubt about that. I'd be a big fan of Bryce Young. As I mentioned on Wednesday, I'm very intrigued by C.J. Stroud. I'm not 100% sold on anyone just yet. I want to continue to make sure I do a little bit of deep diving before I say, okay, that's the guy. Like, when I was a big fan of Jalen Hurts, there was no doubt. I mean, I had been watching him for a while, really had been paying attention to him, and I thought, that's the dude. That's what, you know, you got to go and get that guy. So, and I know everyone wasn't on board with that at first, and it's funny, I had someone hit me up on the radio show on Wednesday and was like, well, you know, Jalen Hurts was fantastic. He was coming out of the draft. We knew he was going to be great, and I was like, wait, hold on. There was a lot of people that didn't have confidence in Jalen Hurts, and he had to go out there and prove it because his own organization, the Eagles, weren't 100% sold that he was going to be the guy. But after he went out there and really busted his tail, that made a big, big difference. So, you know, it just because it looks good in college don't mean it's going to translate in the NFL, and that goes for anybody. But I thought that'd be a nice little deep dive, not deep dive, but a little background, a little bit more information on Hendon Hooker, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson from Florida, and then also Stetson Bennett. Again, we'll continue to do more of this, diving into the NFL draft as far as quarterbacks go, and I'll focus in on defense too, because the defense is something that has to be addressed by the Raiders this offseason. If they don't build up that defense, it doesn't matter who's under center, they're not going to win a lot of games. I mean, it's really just that simple. So we'll continue to do that more, but I do want to hear from you, your thoughts, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get to any of that though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. Been telling you about Built Bar for a very long time and what they bring to the table. And well, right now, if you go to their website, built.com, everything is on sale. Everything is 15% off, so you don't need a promo code, but you can go and get anything that you really desire. And what I mean by that, I mean they have everything. They've got the OG bars, just a regular old Built Bar. They have Built Bar puffs that have marshmallow in it. They have Built Bars that are granola style. I mean, they have just about anything that you can imagine. Low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, just a lot of good flavors for you. So if you want a great tasting snack, if you want something that's going to get you through your workday, maybe get you through your extracurricular, maybe you're out going to play hoops or you're going to go on a hike or you're going to do something like that and you need a snack, Built Bar could be the one for you. If you're in the Las Vegas area, you can head to your nearest Smith's or Sam's Club and grab yourself a box so you don't have to order them online at Built.com. You could also just walk into the store. And if you're near the Sam's Club, you can go and get a 13-bar box. They have the brownie batter. They have churro. They have a bunch of different flavors that you could choose from. But now, like I said, they're available inside stores. If you're in the Las Vegas area, check them out at Smith's or check them out at Sam's Club today. Or if you're not in the area and you just want to order some and have them come to your house because, well, that's what we like to do, Built.com, the whole website right now, is 15% off. Check them out today, Built.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Chef Nick in Colorado. He's calling to talk about the quarterback position, what he thinks the Raiders should do, and also why he doesn't feel sorry for Derek Carr, and we shouldn't either. Here he is, Chef Nick in Colorado.
Hey, Q, this is Chef Nick giving you a call back from Colorado. Just listening to the show today. And first and foremost, you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. You're the most positive thing about this organization right now. You don't work for them. But honestly, I've probably watched maybe two or three games max this year because it's so bad. But I've listened to your show every day. So keep doing what you're doing. I don't think you're being insulting to anybody, especially Derek Carr. But one thing I wanted to talk about is there's a lot of people who are just like they're so apologetic for Derek Carr right now, and they're like, oh, poor Derek Carr, the poor guy had it so hard here. And you know, I'm not here to bash him either, but think about that. He's our quarterback for 9 seasons when he's only been to the playoffs twice, as were other quarterbacks, Alex Smith, or even, Detroit now, who took the Rams to the Super Bowl, lost to Tom Brady, and they traded him, right? So all these other teams are getting rid of quarterbacks who are doing well for the franchise. Meanwhile, we have Derek Carr, who had 9 seasons with two decent seasons, and we still kept them. So why does everyone feel so bad for him? He has a ton of money, more money than we'll ever see. He was with the organization a long time and did have some stability in the middle section of that career. So I don't know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's the way I see it. I also think that we do need to trade up in the draft this year to get a quarterback because we're not going to be at the top of the list next year if things go right. And if things go wrong, then that's another story. But, that's all I got to say. And go Raiders.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. I appreciate you and the kind words. I also appreciate that. And that's the thing about it, man. I know some people feel some kind of way, but Carr was around for 9 years. And in the NFL, that stands for not for long. That is a very long time. He got paid an exceptional amount of money. He's not hurting for money. His family's not hurting for money. His kids ain't hurting for money. Matter of fact, his kids' kids ain't hurting for money, and they're not even born, right? And I know it's not all about money, but, I mean, the dude was, he was a hell of a quarterback for the Raiders. He did some really good things, but it's not like he worked for free, right? I mean, he's a guy that, got paid a very nice amount of money to do the job that he does. Think about it, man. We're normal people. We go to work each and every day. A lot of times most of us feel like our job don't appreciate us. And a lot of times we feel like we're very underpaid. That's the one thing Derek Carr can never say. He might think that his team was underappreciated him. He can never say that they underpaid him. That is for sure. And honestly, I think that this break is going to be good for him. I think it's well deserved for him. I think that this is something good. He might end up pulling a Stafford, going somewhere and winning a championship for all we know. He can go to a really good situation. This is good for him. Anyone who's a big Derek Carr fan should be like, you know what? This is good for him. Let him have an opportunity to really shine, right? I mean, if you're really a fan of the guy, that's what you want anyway. What's best for him? Give him an opportunity to go out there and shine. I'm not mad at that at all, and I wish him the best. You're not going to get me saying a bad word about him, even though people think that sometimes I'm throwing shade at him. Not. Never have. I've always respected him. Always have respected him. So thank you so much for that call. I definitely do appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Ryan in Jersey. He said, hey, Q, it's Ryan from New Jersey. Love the podcast. I got a question for you. You say you don't want Brady or Jimmy G. You don't want to trade up for a quarterback. So who do you want at quarterback for the Raiders next year? I don't think it's realistic that Young, Stroud, or Levis, Will Levis falls at 7. So who's left as a realistic option to start a quarterback for the Raiders next year that allows us to compete? My opinion is sign Brady and draft Hooker. Let him sit, rehab his knee, and learn. Option 2 is ignore Brady, trade up, and get Young or Stroud. That's how you get a dude. You make a move for him. What's your thoughts? That's Ryan in Jersey, and thanks for the call. And that's the thing about it, man. Like, the whole Brady thing, I see how it ties in with each other. I said on Tuesday I didn't want to overreact to one game like we saw on Monday night against the Dallas Cowboys where he just didn't look very good. What concerns me is he looked like he didn't even want to get hit. And we know that right now the Raiders' offensive line is not solid where he's going to get pressure. He's going to get hit. So my thing, and I've said this a long time ago, if Brady ends up being the guy, to me, the two things that signifies is that the Raiders have made a dedication to making their offensive line solid So he doesn't have to worry about having to run around the yard and escape pressure. And two, they're providing him a solid defense, something that they haven't done in a very long time, something they should have already done. So that's what would make me excited about Brady. If he signs, to me, that means that he thinks he can win and the team has done what it takes to put a winner around him. That would make me excited about that. I don't think Brady's going to come to Vegas if they don't address those issues, which is the defense and the offensive line. Jimmy G, I think that that's really a lateral move. I know he knows this system, but he's so injury prone. I just don't think he's going to be available. And I always say the best ability is availability. You know, if a quarterback drops to him at seven, I would love to see them go and get a guy. Like if a CJ Stroud dropped to him, I'd love to see that happen. I just don't think that this team right now can afford to trade up. That's why I said I don't think that they should trade up, because if you trade up, you're giving up extra draft capital to have that ability. And you might be giving up draft capital this year and next year. That's the big concern. They've got to build this team. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. I honestly don't have the right answer. I don't have pinpointed, like, who I think the right guy is going to be. Again, this is the first time I've ever had to worry about a quarterback search in my whole time covering the Raiders. Not my whole time being a fan of the Raiders. If you just take my podcaster and radio my hat off, and just go into being a fan, well, that's a different subject. You know, actually, I was a guy that pounded the table, wanted Derek Carr in 2014, but I wasn't doing this show in 2014. So there's no evidence of that. I was actually only on ESPN Central Texas at the time. So, you know, I just, there's so many things. I think that you can get a guy maybe later in the draft, like you said, a Hendon Hooker. He let him sit. He's a guy that obviously is already older, but let him rehab that knee. He possibly could be a really good fit in Josh McDaniels' offense. You know, he's got a really good deep ball. You know, he didn't turn the ball over very much at Tennessee. You know, he comes back healthy after sitting behind somebody for a year or two. It very well could end up being Brady. It very well could be Jimmy G, even though I wouldn't be a huge fan of it. Hell, I mean, there's an outside chance it could be a guy like Aaron Rodgers if the Raiders were to decide to get freaky and go and make a trade for him. I thought the trade for Davante Adams was never going to happen. Well, a year later, we're talking about a 1,500-yard season and 100 catches for Davante Adams. So there's that, right? I mean, there's a lot of different options that are obviously out there that we probably haven't even discussed. I don't want to just jump at, you know, one name because it's a name. Like, oh, yeah, go get me Brady. He's got seven rings. Like, yeah, he has seven rings, but is this team ready to win? Is he going to be able to help this team get where it needs to be? There's so many questions. So I know that that's probably a roundabout way of answering your question, Ryan. It's a very good question. I just don't have a solid answer right now. And, I mean, the good thing is it's January 19th. We have some time to still work on it and figure it out. The new league year doesn't even start till March, so there's still some time. Believe me, I got the thinking cap on. I know you don't ever see me with a hat on if you're watching on YouTube, because I got to make sure I got to keep those waves tight. But my thinking cap is on, I promise you. Thank you so much for that text. Up next, got a call from TK in Phoenix. He's calling to talk about the quarterback carousel that the Raiders had pre-Carr, and also speaks of the fact that he feels the Raiders did Carr dirty. Here he is, TK in Phoenix.
Hey, this is TK calling out of Phoenix, Arizona, repping for the Raider Nation. Look, I know it's a long shot of me even ending up on the podcast, man, and I was not even going to call, but you know what? I got to keep it real. Like, a lot of folks on here, I feel like, might not be long-term fans to see the carousel of quarterbacks that you talked about, but I don't like the way it gets downplayed, the lack of consistency that Carr ever had. Like, on top of that, zero help on the defense. Zero help. Our defense has been bottom tier even when we had Khalil Mack. So everybody who's jumping on the Brady bandwagon thinking he's going to be our savior, not if we don't get an offensive line and not if we don't have a defense, because Tom Brady is not the savior of any team. The success he had with the Patriots came from Bill Belichick and his genius defensive mind. Tom Brady had a number one defense built around him throughout all his success. Tom Brady had consistency at the coaching position. Tom Brady had consistency from his organization. Carr didn't get none of that from the Raiders. Carr got to be this golden boy that when times were low, everybody just spat on him. You know what I mean? And he still stayed the true character that he is. So respect to that man. I don't think he owes us anything. If he wants to get released, I wish him all the best to the next organization. Definitely don't help anybody who did you the way McDaniels and Ziegler did. You guys can sugarcoat it how you want to, but the writing's on the wall, man. They did this man dirty. They used him to get Adams over here, and now we got to do something to make Adams happy, because that's That's another generational talent right there that if we don't address the quarterback position in the way that he likes, he's probably not going to be doing anything for us either. He's going to be like Randy Moss on the team, just filling out his contractual obligations. So love what you do, Q. Thanks for being my first listen. If this makes it to you, then awesome. If not, man, you have a blessed day.
TK, thanks for the call, my man. And I got a lot of respect for Carr. I mentioned that earlier. I mention that all the time, actually. I wish him the best. But I think that it's going a little far when you say that the team spat on him. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's going a little bit far. I mean, the dude got paid bread, right? I mean, look, I've been disrespected at my job. I'm sure you've been disrespected at your job. Not this one, but my previous job. When I was at ESPN Central Texas, I was treated pretty bad, right? I didn't like a lot of the situation that I was in. And I got a paycheck. It was a very small paycheck. There's a reason why I got 18 jobs now, because I had to have 18 jobs just to survive, right? Just so I could come home and bring a check to my wife and be like, hey, here you go, and not look like, you know, she was carrying me. Like, I was actually contributing to the house. I was helping out, you know? I mean, that's one of the reasons why, because they paid me poorly and they didn't really give me any kind of anything, any chance to really do anything. But I wouldn't even say that they spat on me. I would just say I felt a little disrespected. Derek Carr got paid millions of dollars, and is in a really good situation. His family, for years to come, is set up really well. He's going to go somewhere, and he's going to play as long as he wants to play, you know, or as long as he's still able to play in the league. He'll be fine. He'll make more money. He was around for 9 years in the NFL. Did he do some good things for the Raiders? Absolutely. Did they do him any favors by putting a defense around him? No, they didn't. But at one point, they had a really good offensive line. They had a really good, you know, weapons around him. And he got him to the playoffs in 2016. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to play. Got him to the playoffs last year. Did a really good job with that. The organization wants to get better. They want to improve. I mean, it's just like everyone else. Like, we can all have good jobs, but we want better, right? You know, so, I mean, that's just, it's okay for the employer to want better as well. Like, someday, somebody might come to me and be like, you know what, Q, you're good, but we want better. And I don't think anyone's going to say, well, you did Q dirty. No, it's business. It's business. So I think the, you know, spat on him and all that other stuff is going a little far. I get it. I get the respect that you have for him. I have it too. I think everyone does. I think everyone appreciates. At the very end of the day, even if you don't respect him, you have to appreciate what he attempted to do with the Raiders. Sometimes it's just not enough, and it's really just that simple. Thank you so much for that call, my man. I do appreciate you. I got time for one more text, and I know I'm going a little bit over, Ari. I'm sorry. One text from Nate in the 626. It's a pretty lengthy text, too. Ari's like, damn it, Q, you're going long, and then on top of that, you're going to close out with a long text. Sorry. Text from Nate in the 626 says, hey, Q, I have points for you that I'd like to get off my chest. One, Jimmy G is a complete downgrade from DC. As you say, best ability is availability. If you're not available, then what good are you to the team? Two, heavily invest in the defense. Defense wins championships, and it would be foolish to keep investing in our offense, saying that we've been at the bottom of the barrel in regards to our defense for the last 10-plus years. Furthermore, I think Patrick Graham is not the guy. Push for a guy like Wade Phillips, who stated a few seasons ago that he would like to be in Las Vegas. Also, what do you think of going after Jalen Ramsey? Three, we need a car thief, not a choir boy, for a quarterback. Whether that is Brady, Stidham, or a rookie, I'll back anyone who has that will to win. Four, this one is for the fans and the civil war going on in the community. We need to come together and start creating our culture as a fan base in Las Vegas. I also miss Oakland, but we need to build a bridge, get over it, and create a new environment in Las Vegas. I myself will be attending at least 6 of the 8 home games this new season. I understand that many opposing fans will come to Las Vegas as it's the place to be, but there is no way we can keep letting our stadium continue to be a home away from home for other teams, especially for the Chiefs and Broncos, both of which I have a place in my heart where my hatred runs deep. There's nothing more satisfying than a Chief, Charger, and Bronco losing season. Again, that is a really lengthy text from Nate from the 626. Thank you for that text, my man. I appreciate you, and I agree. Invest in the defense. They got 11 draft picks this upcoming draft. I would love to see them go the majority of that defense. You're right. They haven't invested in it in a very long time. Jimmy G, I agree 100%. It's lateral, and Jimmy G is a liability when it comes to availability. As far as a car thief, not a choir boy, a quarterback, I just want a dude. I don't care if he's a nice guy or not. I just want a dude that goes out there and he can play with the best of them, right? I mean, when he steps on the field with a Patrick Mahomes or a Justin Herbert or a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or a Lamar Jackson, he's not looked at as a massive downgrade. because I'm sorry, as much as I have respect for Derek Carr and I thought he was a good quarterback, anytime he stepped on the field with any of those cats, everyone always said how much of a lesser quarterback he was. That's not my words. That was theirs. So don't get it twisted. I'm not calling him the lesser quarterback. I'm just saying what the narrative was. I would like the narrative to say, wow, this is going to be a fun game. Two great quarterbacks, similar to what we're going to see this upcoming weekend when the Bills and the Bengals square up. Josh Allen versus Joe Burrow. Like, that's what I want. I want them to be able to say, oh, man, the Raiders got that quarterback. This is going to be fun. Herbert versus that guy, oh, that's going to be a fun one. That's what I'm talking about. Again, no disrespect to Derek Carr at all. I hate that I have to clarify that all the time, but I know somebody will run with it if I don't. So, yeah, that's it. And as far as fans coming to Las Vegas, look, I wasn't a big fan of the Raiders leaving Oakland at all. I wasn't a big fan of me coming to Las Vegas. My first goal was to go back to the Bay Area and work for 95.7 The Game. And the only reason that I didn't, well, there's multiple reasons. One, you know, because my mom lives out here in the Las Vegas area. But two, the Raiders were coming out here and it just made sense. So I got over it as well as a Bay Area guy. I got over it and was like, you know what? Hell, Las Vegas it is. Let's make it happen. Beautiful stadium, beautiful facilities. You know, now just would like to see a beautiful championship held up. And Raider Nation, you know, it doesn't matter where the Raiders play. It doesn't matter if it's Oakland, L.A., Las Vegas. It's always about the Raiders. It's always about the silver and black. It's always just win, baby. It's always commitment to excellence. I don't care if they played on the southern tip of Africa. I think we'd all still be Raider fans. So at some point, I know all Raider Nation will be on board, or I believe all of Raider Nation will be on board with Las Vegas. But, you know, there's still some that are slow to the party, and that's okay. Just hoping at one point that, you know, the Raider Nation could really embrace the city of Las Vegas, because it really is an awesome place to be. So that's really all the time I got. Ari's like looking at the clock like, uh-huh, that's more than the time that you got, Q. You're way over time. So I apologize, Ari. I won't go real long tomorrow. I appreciate you. You can find Ari on Twitter, at Ari Produces. He could tweet at him about my length of the show, and he'll probably tweet back that Q knows better than going that long, but that's kind of what I do at times. So Raider Nation, thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find it free and available on all platforms tomorrow. We'll have a real special show as we close out the week real strong, head into the weekend, and get ready for a whole nother week of conversations about the Raiders and how they continue to build the roster and what they need to continue to do as they move forward this offseason with the silver and black. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be an interesting one. Until tomorrow, Raider Nation, take care of yourself, take care of your family, love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.